In the name of Jesus, amen. You're invited to be seated. Over these last six Wednesdays, including Ash Wednesday, the overall arching theme of midweek services this has been about repentance, turning away from various things. And over the past 6 weeks, there has been plenty of examples in the scriptures of people who have actually seen their error and turned away and repented, and those who did not. And as we have, you'll notice in the readings today, I chose something that sounded a little bit more Advent-y than Lent-y. But it's a topic that is also, even in our modern age, we find people needing to repent of it, of how they view this. The gospel reading is not the Annunciation itself, mind you. That event was when Gabriel appeared to the Blessed Virgin Mary and told her that she would bear the dearest Christ child. But the gospel from St. Matthew chapter 1 is St. Joseph's side of the story. So why do we have this reading on Annunciation? Why celebrate the Annunciation at all during Lent? Besides the answer that the historic day for observing the event is actually on this day, kind of a cool thing, there's also the answer that the Annunciation touches upon key themes to a Lenten season. And actually, the collect for that day says, O Lord, as we have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the message of the angel to the Virgin Mary, so by the message of his cross and passion, bring us to the glory of his resurrection. Notice how that collect directs us toward the suffering and death of Christ for us. The Annunciation is not an event that has nothing to do with Good Friday. On the contrary, it was for Good Friday that the Annunciation happened. He became flesh to lay that flesh down in death. He took on nerve endings so that they would feel agony. He took heart and veins full of blood so that it would be shed for you. He took a human body and soul so that he could be fitting substitute for mankind's sin. Here we must deal, though, with the difficulty of the virgin birth. I do not say difficulty because it was difficult for God to accomplish. I say it is difficult because of man's human reason. Man, flawed by sin, cannot accept the virgin birth. Far easier for man is denial or dismissal as if it were a myth. Hearing even Christians during the time when we call it Christmas or Advent saying, well, the virgin birth isn't really important because, you know, that's kind of like first century whatever. And they would say that's really important is Jesus. Whenever we don't like something, we go, well, it's not really important that. What's really important is Jesus. And I'm like, who did you think the Annunciation was talking about? Jesus? I hope so. But we might try to give God advice on this. Lord knows the History Channel does every year. God, do you think you could send the Savior in a different way than the virgin birth? It was also a very common question within the Reformed circles. Are you saying God couldn't do that? And of course, Luther would say something that would be quite hilarious. He told us, well, of course, God could have sent salvation. What did he said through an ass with a hat, something like that. He goes, but he didn't. So let's stick to what we know. And I just love Luther. Whenever somebody would ask him a dumb question, he was way, way ahead of his time. So he would say that I don't care what he could have done. I care about what he did do. But That event is too hard for unbelievers to hear and believe. Maybe they would be more inclined to trust Christianity if it didn't have such a difficult hurdle. My mom told me once she was watching an interview with a rabbi who liked Christianity very much. And I'm like, but? And my mom laughed. Like, but? And he said, but he has a problem with the virgin birth. And I go, and the Trinity? And the Trinity. Yeah, so he has a problem with Christianity, but he likes it. Sure, we don't actually give God advice this way. At least I hope we don't. But we still might find the virgin birth a little embarrassing sometimes. We might fail to mention it on occasions when it ought to be mentioned. We might not press it too hard with new believers as if they don't want to get them offended. Does it really matter if people believe it is often the question we hear, and it seems God found it important enough to put it in his holy word and to have it be a prophecy. So yes, it matters. It has been steadfastly confessed by the church from her earliest days in her creeds. We are faithful members of the same church because we confess the same thing. It has nothing to do with our nationality of origin or anything. It has to do with one faith. And yes, this is part of it. Joseph had trouble with this. Clearly, he did not think that the virgin births happen every day. And he's right. Yet he, when the word and command of God was made known to him, what did he do? He didn't run out. He did what God said. He trusted him. God grant the same trusting spirit in us. So why the virgin birth? Scripture does not directly answer that question. We can reasonably assume that for God's son to be born, it had to happen without the help of an earthly father. We get that, and thus be sinless. We do not exactly know this, since Scripture does not say it, and that is a braver statement that we make as Lutherans than it is for me to come up with some cockamamie explanation for it. History Channel. I'm sorry, I like the History Channel, but not for their biblical histories. Could Christ have been conceived and born some other way? Yeah, don't ask Luther, he will embarrass you. Did he even have to be born? Yes. Could he simply assume human nature without having a parent? Scripture does not explicitly say for certain, so we shouldn't go with that. But we know that he came to live a human life like yours and mine in every way except one, the most important way, sin. Could Christ have lived a life just like yours yet not be born and not have parents? Well, according to Scripture, it seems not. Yet he did not have to have an earthly biological father as we do, and that does not get in the way of him being the Holy Son of God, so we really don't know much. This we know, that Christ was conceived and born of the Blessed Virgin, as Scripture clearly teaches. Although it does not say the purpose of being born of the Virgin, it does not say that the reason he was to be named Jesus was because he will save his people from their sins. It says that he will be named Jesus, for that reason. So who are his people? Well, objectively speaking, we would say that all the people are his, according to like John 3:16. He voluntarily chose to be one of the human race. Thus, he atoned for all sins of the whole world. More specifically, we could say that his people are the Jews. Yet all who have faith are children of Abraham. So Gentiles, to whom faith is given, receive the benefits of Christ's atonement. That's why we don't just say it's the Jews, because even among the Jews, there were those who did not believe in Jesus. So he did not count them with him. And there were Gentiles that did not count with him because they did not believe in him. Christianity is non-ethnic. Bottom line, Christ died for your sins. You need not wonder whether maybe you were not one of the people whom he saves. We had a little girl in chapel today. Remember Sedona? Marcia was here. She saw it. Sedona's in first grade, and we have announcement time. An announcement time is where kids basically get to say whatever random thing is going through their head. But we do it so they know that there's a time for it, and not during chapel. So they can hold off until announcement time. And they do great. And she raises her hand, and she's the most adorable little first grader you've ever seen in your life. She raises her hand, and I said, "Yes, Sedona. Pastor Hoffman, why would Jesus die for our sins? Why would he have to die for our sins?" I'm like, whoa. Weird, because of the sermon tonight. And I was ready to unload like 10 minutes on her. But I could tell people were ready to leave. Chapel was over. And I did, and I go to her and I said, "Let me tell you the best way to explain it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I said, what happened was God told us that the wages of sin is death, and Jesus came to die for us so that our sin, death, and the devil would be taken away. And I said, why did he choose that particular way? Same as here. Not sure. But he did. And I want you to trust that, Sedona. She's like, okay. She does this to me in religion class, too, every week. The bottom line is, Christ did die for your sins. The bottom line is, you don't need to wonder whether maybe you were not one of the people whom he saved. Atonement is for all people, and you are part of the group called all people. He took a human body so that he could pay the price for you and all mankind. His name was predetermined to be Jesus because that is the precious name apart from which there is no name by which you can be saved. Only the virgin born saves sinners. So God did this thing right. Although we do not understand all the ins and outs of it, we know that Christ being born of Mary in this way was the right way to send the Savior. Why? Because God tells us he did it. And so therefore it is the right way. We know that the way he lived his life was right in every way. We know that his submission to suffering for us was exactly the right thing to save us. So the Annunciation happened because God wanted his son to experience Good Friday. Although he did not want his son to suffer, he was willing to pay that price, as Christ also was willing to submit to his Father's will. He knew all of this before he said to the Father, "Yes, I will be born of a virgin." He knew long before, so that even when prophets centuries before wrote it down, he saw all that he would suffer, yet he obeyed and followed that most difficult path that leads to your salvation. Therefore, Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. He lived our life and still abides with us who have faith. He will not abandon us whom he has made his people through the waters of holy baptism, through the giving of the Holy Spirit. He will be always, even until the end of the age, as well as after its end and into eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.